Italian Wine Podcast. Cin cin with Italian wine people.
This podcast is brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey. Native Grape Odyssey is an educational project financed by the European Union to promote European wine in Canada, Japan, and Russia. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast with me, Monty Ward, and my guest today is Maurizio Zanella. Maurizio is the founder and president, CEO, of Ca del Bosco. Welcome.
Hi, Monty.
What is Ca del Bosco? What does it actually mean, first of all, and where is it?
Yeah, Ca del Bosco, the meaning is Ca is a dialect for casa. In Italian is Ca. Del Bosco is in the forest, so it was a small house in the middle of the forest. That is, was when we start in 68, Ca del Bosco in the beginning. A small house in the middle of a forest.
And which region of Italy are we talking about?
We are talking about Franciacorta, that probably most of the people doesn't know exactly where it's located, but we are in Lombardy between Como Lake and Garda Lake, exactly south of a small lake called Iseo.
Lake Iseo?
Yeah, and it's a beautiful area.
So in 1968, it was this house in the woods.
Yeah.
Were there vineyards attached to it at that time?
No vineyard. There was other vineyard in Franciacorta, but not next to this house. This house was a dream of my parents to have a small farm. They was living in Milano and they want to have a small farm close to the city at 1 hour and do, you know, vegetable, good food. And so they have pig, they have a cow, they have milk, chicken, fruit tree, grapes, to do some wine, a very, very small quantity.
So did you grow up there?
No, I was sent in exile in this farm in
1970.
Because...
How old were you? Sorry.
I was 14, because was I am 56, so I was 14. Mm-hmm. Because in those years, you probably remember, there was the revolution of the student. It's supposed to be all communist, Mao Zedong and this thing. So I have trouble in Milano with school. I lost actually 2 years. So they sent me in exile in the farm in order to be more quiet.
So you were a rebel then, were you?
Yeah, very.
Really? So you bought into the student protest?
Yes, in the 68.
So that was
I was very young because the protest was done for the university guy.
Yeah, started in France, 18, didn't it?
19, started in Paris and then in Milano. But was done from people that was 19 up. The people of university, and I was 13. And
so you were a rebel. So that was a difficult age for a boy as well, yes, 13.
Yes, so I was thinking that was more fun to do the war against the police instead to go to school. So
to be a
revolutionary. I lost 2 years.
Did you get into real trouble then?
Yes. Yes.
Look at you now.
Yeah, well, I learned something.
You know, if my grandmother's not with you, but if I introduce you to my grandmother, she's always a very smart man. He's very friendly.
I am very friendly, but at the time I have my experience in me.
Yeah, but do you look back on that before we go forward? Do you look back on that with regret or as a learning experience?
Learning experience. I just lost 2 years of my life, but was a great experience, really great. Not because it was fun, but because I learned too much. I learned a lot from my father. He was obviously in trouble and...
Because of your behavior.
Yeah, and so when he understand before any other people that I have a real interest, that was wine, he have given me the freedom at 50 years to do what I have done. And so this was outstanding because I have a son now that is not even 30 and I don't let him do nothing without asking me, what you do? Why you do this? Why you do that? And if I think... that my father would make me build the first cellar without telling me nothing, how tall, how big, how small, which color. Or...
So he let you have your own freedom?
Yes. I built the first cellar at 16 years old, alone.
So he let you make your own mistakes?
Yes.
So that you could learn from them?
Yeah.
And you do that and you're happy that your son is the same?
Yes. It was a big school.
Okay, so that's the Ca del Bosco.
Yeah.
So how did it become a little house in the woods with a few vines and a few pigs into a... really, what is a globally recognized brand in wine circles? What was the journey?
The main reason, objective, is the timing. If I was starting 10 years early, we was bankrupt because no one was looking in Italy in those years of good wine. But I was looking for quantity wine.
Cheap wine, yeah.
Cheap. And if I was starting 10 years later, I was not number one, I was number 122, and was more difficult to stay on the first line. So the timing, by chance, have been something magic, not planned, a lot of luck to get the right timing to be probably one of the 5, 10, 20 winery that have changed the Italian winemaking, and to be one of the actors of what I call Italian wine renaissance was a big chance, but was not planned. It was all done by chance, and this was very, very, very lucky. The second thing is that the timing, and the second thing was that I have no plan. I have a dream. There was not budget, project, planification. I have only a dream. I want to do something great, because my first cellar that I visited when I was 16, by chance, was DRC.
Domaine de la Romanée Conti.
And it was incredible, because after DRC I was in Champagne, and when I came back from this trip, the light probably turned on, and when I come back I say, I want to do better, we can do better in Italy. And so I start with this kind of proposal.
For sparkling wine we're talking about,
yes,
sparkling wine.
And so another, the third lucky thing, so the first is timing, the second is dream, a nice dream, and the third is that I found after my father, my real father, that was very a genius to let me give this freedom, I found a father with the culture and with love of this world that it was my teacher, my philosopher. It was Luigi Veronelli that he took me under his wing, because I was so young, and he looked a guy of 17 years so passionate in wine, and probably he was say, this is something crazy.
So Luigi Veronelli, for those of you who don't know, is probably the most influential writer on Italian wine in the Italian language.
And it took me, really, we have walked together, make ton of miles in car together, flight in all the world together, to learn about wine, about food. And he was a big teacher. Teacher not how to make the wine, but the philosophy of the extreme and the quality and the not lifestyle. Style of life.
Yeah, there's a difference, isn't there?
A big difference.
So, now, your family, I mean, how did you meet Veronelli? Was that through your father?
No. I was in a fair in Genova. It was a fair for a hotel and restaurant called Bibe. I believe it was 74, 75. The first wine that I was doing, I was in a fair, and Veronelli came and said, who does the wine? I say, I. And he said, you're too young. I say, no, it's me. Where are you? And so he was living in Bergamo, that is 20 miles from Caderbosco. So we was also lucky that we was very close. So he started a really strong friendship, and this was my luck also, to have someone that give me the, how you say, the philosophic idea, not the technical.
Yeah, the actual dream, just to shape the dream.
To shape the dream and make the dream become reality, with pushing me and tell me this is wrong, this is good, but not to tell me how to do it.
So what was the wine he actually tried? Was it a sparkling wine or a red wine?
No, it was a still wine, because at the time it was Pinot di Franciacorta, was a still wine, because we start to do the sparkling in the 78, and so was before this.
So it was still a Pinot Noir?
Was a Pinot Blanc.
Oh, Pinot Blanc, okay.
With some Chardonnay without to know, unfortunately, that there was Chardonnay.
But a sparkling
inside.
Wine or a still wine?
Still.
Okay.
It was still done with Pinot Blanc, that we supposed at the time to have only Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris, and Pinot Noir. And the Pinot Blanc in reality was a blend of all vineyards, because in the time in Italy, really, the knowledge on quality, on clone, on vine was really low, and so there was no Chardonnay. The Chardonnay was not existing, and they blend Chardonnay and Pinot Blanc and Pinot Muscat like if it was the same thing. So I still have the vineyard. I don't want to take it out. The first vineyard to show what they sell me in 72, the Italian nursery, I don't make name, obviously, but that they say this is Pinot Blanc and they give us four or five varietal blend without to know. They don't do because they want to
just
do
to
something
sell.
Bad. But yeah. There was no knowledge. They was only looking for the rootstock that produced a lot. This was the only interest.
Yeah, productive
that
rootstocks,
time
yeah.
was the only focus in the 70s was
high yields,
high production.
Yeah.
So that start everything, and this is how start Casa Bosco.
Okay, well, the idea from that little wine fair where you got some encouragement to being part of a brand that is, as I said before, is basically globally known. What happened in the middle? Tell us about the middle part of the story.
Hey, it's a very long and beautiful story. I have a lot of...
I mean, you're obviously a very charismatic guy. And
I don't know if I'm charismatic, but...
In my view, you're a charismatic guy.
I love what I do, that's it.
Yeah, okay, so you obviously got passion for what you do. You got technical background. You've had the right influences in
yes,
your...
Then I go to study in Bordeaux, then I go to study in Burgundy. Then I was so lucky to take from Champagne one old man. The name was André Dubois, and the translation of Dubois, obviously, is Del Bosco, so from the forest. So I have also the surname that was...
André Dubois, yeah.
So André Dubois took in Italy the culture, the tradition that we miss in those times, because without them, my friend and all Italian winemaker, they are upset with me, but at that time there was no knowledge. In the 70s, there was only one, probably, that you know the name, start with T, that was a winemaker making great wine, but the culture on quality
in Italy,
wine...
The tea in Italy or in somewhere else, Telechef in California,
no,
you mean?
Both of them.
Yeah.
The California then became doing the wine for Casa Bosco before another brand from Tuscany, but he have worked on 80, 81, 82, Andre Telechef with us to make our still wine before he started a serious collaboration. He have done this friendly because we was friends. Then he get a very good contract with the wine that now is known worldwide in Italy, in Tuscany. But this time the knowledge was so low that I was obliged to take someone from France for the Franciacorta wine and someone from California for the still wine, because we miss the culture into great wine. So it was important, especially after I study in Bordeaux University and in Ecole d'Enologie de Talence, Station Enologique de Bourgogne in Bonn. I feel that in Italy we was sleeping or we was focused on another product, and so I understand that we have to change everything. So we change how to plant the vine, and we go from 1,500 foot vine for hectare to 10,000 vine for hectare.
So high density vineyards.
Yes, and we start all the process in order to try that the dream became reality. So those are the 47 years that I am talking to you. That
yeah, we can start the interview then. No, I'm joking. No. I mean, but
it's
you
too
obviously,
long
you,
to,
no,
to
no,
do
it's
the
brilliant.
Harvest. But what I miss the most is the tradition, because all the other thing you can buy, or you can get the knowledge, or you can have idea. We have 5 patent in Casa Bosco that no one in the world wine have ever done. So you have a lot to do. Because if we patent something, means that we can patent another 100. So we are in the prehistory still in quality wine. There is a lot to do.
But what are you patenting there? Not grape variety,
but we patent to do the dégorgement without oxygen, so we don't add 1 milligram of sulfite at dégorgement. This is the more important patent that we have.
So you want to reduce the sulfite levels?
Yes, and at dégorgement, you know that when you do esgorge the wine, you feel the protection, the CO2, because you lose the CO2 oxygen get in and you have oxidation, so you have to protect the wine with sulfite, and you give a big amount in this moment of sulfite. And I was crazy, I said no, we have to find a way not to add any, and we get this and we patent this. Then the new crazy thing is that when we turn all the vineyard in organic and we are certified organic with more than 200 hectares, we find out that copper was not so healthy and was not so good for the fermentation because the yeast doesn't like him. I speak very simple in order that everyone can understand. And so we think something crazy, because I think like my grandmother was only screaming with me when I was eating an apple, say, wash it. So we patent the first berry spa, so where we wash all the grape and we dry all the grape before pressing. And some people was laughing when we started this 11 years ago. And now, I mean, we see the result in the wine, where the wine are more clean. I'm not joking, they are more clean and they are more pure. Have more integrity. So there are a lot of things where we are working on and we are not finished. We believe, because now the lack of Casal Bosco is that there is people working with me for more than 30 years that are more integralist of me, and so I have to keep them a little more calm.
So you mean they want to be even sort of greener or...
No, integralist in the quality, integralist in the fact that dedication...
So obsessive or
obsessive.
What?
Yeah. Obsessive on quality and never happy.
Like you?
Like me. So they want to be more than me. So I say, no, please, I am already too much.
Want enough, yeah.
So please be a little bit less. But they are never happy. And so everyone now that have a role in Casal Bosco, in the viticulture, in the winemaking, in the sales, they are crazy on quality, and they want never happy with what they do, and they want every day doing better. So I am lucky because now there is a great team, and without people you cannot do nothing. The dream will not be reality if there is not people like this.
Yeah, I mean, that is very important, that you've got to have staff that buy into you, A, that buy into your philosophy, and B, actually do what they're supposed to do, and also, as you say, feel that they've got the freedom to say, hey, listen, why don't we try this? Maybe we should do it, change this little thing and do it another way. And that often isn't the case when you see relationships between particularly like CEOs, the smart guy, you haven't got a tie on, but you're a smart guy, obviously, and just a normal vineyard worker. You know, say, hang on, can we just, I do the same operation 4,000 times a year. If we changed it, we could save X number of hours and this much number of product. We'd save money and we could invest it in something else. So you're open to that?
Yeah, always. Respecting the good tradition.
But that comes from your, it can be a very negative word in Italy, contadino, which means a peasant or a lowly farmer.
No, I'm proud
farmer.
To be a contadino.
I'm very
proud. Even if sometimes I have a tie, I say, don't be mistaken, even if I have a tie, I am a farmer.
For me, it's the noblest job of all, a farmer. Without farmers, we don't eat, and without them, we're not.
I'm very proud to be a farmer. When we say, you are a manager, you are an industry, I say, no, I am not industry, I'm a farmer.
So what's the next step for you? You must have ambitions. You're someone that's always going to have another hurdle to jump.
We have not, like I told you in the beginning, we have not a target, because how you can have a target? We don't know how to do better, but we have to do better, but without to know how, because the rules are done. For example, this is very interesting, it's a little more technical. In all the book of winemaking is kind of law that when you have the sediment of the wine, that you cool down the juice, you have sediment.
The lees.
And this, on the book, is right. You have to take out the lees heavy and leave the light, the fine lees.
Otherwise you get a stinky wine. You start getting reduction and hydrogen sulfide.
And in Italian, lees, bad one, the heavy one, is called feccia.
La feccia.
And feccia, in Italian, you can say not only on the wine, but also in the population. This is the feccia of the sausage, so criminal or...
Yeah, it's a bad term for low lives.
It's a very bad term, feccia, not only on the wine...
Scum.
Also in the sausage.
Yeah, you would call it scum, even though scum is
and
the thing that rises
to I have in. The proudness to tell that now our feccia is the best part of our wine, because after that we wash the grapes, there are not bad nose, there are not any more bad things, no copper, no zinc, no sulfites. So the feccia, the heavy lees, that one time was taken away because they smell very bad, now they give to our wine a lot more power, and we don't take away the feccia anymore. We leave our wine totally. This is something that we discovered 3 years ago. We say, but why? When we take away, like, because it was a rules, mm-hmm. and we smell and say, but it's very good, why we take away? We try to leave it. Yeah. We try and we make comparison. Wine with and wine without. And the wine with, they were always better. So say, we're not stupid, we leave it.
Well, how much extra volume does that give? If you say you have a liter...
It's about 2.5%.
Okay.
That we was losing. But in wine is about less than one, because then you put away the heavy.
Mm-hmm. The really heavy leaves.
Because it's solid, it's mm-hmm. not wine. So we have a little 1% more of wine also. We make more wine from the juice.
But you're saying that it's not just about the 1% extra of wine, it's also about having...
It's because you leave on the yeast, the wine absorb the power, the intensity from positive things and not from negative.
And it can allow you to reduce the level of sulfites as well, because because it's still on
so
the yeast.
So they tell you, we don't have a target, because this happened by chance. We don't know. When we studied the berry spa or the machinery, that was crazy, because the people that, you know, that all the fruit that became food is washed.
Yeah.
Olive to do olive oil, orange to do orange juice, apple to do cedar or orange juice, fruit from yogurt, fruit from jam, everything is washed. The only fruit that is not washed is grape, because it's is insane, is a blaspheme. Because the first fraud in the 60s was to add water to the wine, because who cares if the wine of 30 degrees is 12 or 11 and a half, who cares? And so the first fraud, the first bad thing to do was adding water to the wine. So when you speak water in the world of good wine, high quality wine, the people, water, are you crazy?
They think you're just putting the hose in the vat just to make
and
more
so
wine.
And so when we say we wash the grape, the people look at me, are you nuts?
Yeah, I have to say, I thought you were nuts.
We are a little bit nuts, but we dry the grapes 99.7%. So there is more wet a grape that is cut under the rain than our grape, because our grape is more dry of someone that is harvesting with the...
But is it worth it in terms of cost? Obviously, traditional method sparkling wine.
Crazy cost to wash and
dry. So you can, if you're making like a everyday white wine, you probably wouldn't do that. But if you're making top quality sparkling wine with a decent margin...
No, we do now with all. We do with the white, we do with the red, because if you see, it's just enough that you look at the first, we call jacuzzi, and the first thing where go the grapes, after half an hour, the color of the water, you understand immediately that is a process that will arrive for all the wine in the future. Because you see the water, and you see the water brown, and say, what is this? And there is the desert powder that came
from the sand.
Yeah. Is the pollution, is the copper, is the zinc, is the ant, is the spider, is everything you have in the grapes. But if you wash, you lose everything, and you have something more pure. So I believe it will be something that will not a pattern for Cattle Bosco for a long time.
What's your next project then?
I don't know. We don't know. We go day by day, and when we have evidence, we go for it.
Do you think your father would be proud of you, the little rebel at 14 who was out protesting? Or would he still think you're
I don't know, because he never loved this work, because he said that I was invested too much money for what I get back. So he was more practical, you say industrial. I am more dreamer and farmer, and I never matched with him that he was more, I say, rational.
Yeah, more feet on the ground.
Yes.
Yeah. But you have been very successful.
Well, we are now very successful, and also it's very, very, very important that I believe, like you mentioned in the beginning, in order to do this was not possible to do alone, and I need to have a partner. So I was not so egoist to say it's better to have something small at 100%. It's better to have something that can arrive where I want, even if it's not all of my property. And so that's also the choice in 94 to have a partner that can allow me to make my dream become reality.
We can talk a little bit about the zone of Franciacorta. So what is Franciacorta?
The wine.
Yeah, and
because how you know, and I want to tell you, we are not talking today about spumante, we are not talking of champagne, we are not talking of sparkling wine, we are not talking of prosecco, we are talking of Franciacorta. So this is very important, because it's a message that I want to give to consumer, because the consumer must understand that even the wine with the bubble, they are not different from the other one. But, and so it's stupid to call it how they have done. You have to call it with the name where they come from. So we don't want, and the law, the European law, give us the opportunity to do, because perhaps you know, all the sparkling wine done in Europe must mandatory put on the front label for help the consumer the fact that they have bubble inside. So all the sparkling done in Italy, they must have spumante on the front label. All the sparkling done in France, they have vermouth on the front label. In Germany, sec. In England, sparkling wine. There are two exceptions. One is our cousin of north of France, east of Paris, that obviously I don't mention. And the other is Franciacorta.
It began with the sea.
And the other one is Franciacorta. These two appellations get the recognition to be wine and not sparkling. So we are talking of wine. Incidentally, those wines have bubble, but incidentally. So I want and I hope that the consumer recognize Franciacorta immediately like a wine, like Barolo or like Brunello, because the fact that it's red, Barolo, is not affecting. The fact that it stays 6 years in the hood, who cares? The fact that Franciacorta have the strongest low production of sparkling wine in the world,
yep.
We don't care. Mm-hmm. It's Franciacorta. Then the rules became after. See, someone want to know, yes, is the most strict law to make a sparkling wine in the world. So low production of grape, low pressing of the grapes, more long aging time of all the others. So a lot of things that give the rules to the producer of the area to get not quality, but a future and build the culture that we miss because we have only 50 years of culture and give to everyone the direction to get the culture more fast as possible.
Okay, I want to say thank you to my guest today, Maurizio Zanella of Car del Bosco, founder and president, CEO of Car del Bosco and former teenage rebel, but ultimately a contadino and a very proud contadino, a proud farmer who happens to make sparkling wine with washed grapes. It's been great talking to you, very stimulating guy to interview. I have to get you back on the show, I think. I'd love to delve deeper into some of your rebellious
grazie mille.
Rebellious times. And I'd love to come and visit the see the wine
you must,
harvest. Yeah.
You must come during the harvest because it's something unique.
You've been like, you sort of made your own life. You've had great influences. I mean, if you, like, Domenico Romani Conti in Bordeaux, Veronelli, and also your parents.
Yeah.
You've made the most of all of those influences, good or bad. And some people say, oh, I had a bad father, or I had a bad this, and complain about it.
I was lucky.
It. Yeah, and you always look on the bright side. So that's great. It's nice to see you, Maurizio Zanella, Car del Bosco. I hope we meet again.
Grazie. See you soon.
Piacere mio.
Ciao.
Grazie mille.
Grazie.
Fantastico.
This podcast has been brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey, discovering the true essence of high-quality wine from Europe. Find out more on nativegrapeodyssey.eu. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.